This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
One of the most interesting aspects of the seed of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the hijrah, the migration. And specifically the one moment when you hone in on the concept of brotherhood, ukhuwa. And anytime we say brotherhood or ukhuwa or he or yani huwa in the Arabic language, we're talking about men and women. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded the Ansar, those who are in Medina, they're established. When the migrants, the muhajirin, the immigrants who are fleeing for their lives, when they reach you in Medina, to support them. And so he partnered up one family with one family. And what would they do? We have many examples in the seerah. But amongst them, they would support them. Whatever you need, I'm there for you. You want half of my wealth, I'll give it to you. You want half of my land, I'll give it to you. One companion who said, I have two parts to my home, half of it is yours. So from the very beginning, the Prophet ﷺ was emphasizing that Islam is not an individualistic religion. Especially in times of fear. Especially when people become more isolated. Likewise in our world today. Many times when there is fear, whether it's economic or political, local or global, people tend to hold back. And holding back is not just financial, in the economic sense. Holding back means sometimes people are constantly focused on, what does my family need? And they prioritize it, but sometimes they forget to ask, what about my neighbor? What about my brothers? What about my sisters here and around the world? I remember one of the most, for me, impactful moments in Jordan was meeting Syrian refugees who had been refugees for over a decade now. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for them and all of our brothers and sisters in every land and place. And one of the mothers there lost her entire family except for her grandchildren. She said, I'm constantly making dua for the people that Allah sends our way through organizations and relief programs. She said, I know my trust is in Allah and these people are vehicles. But what helps really emotionally and psychologically is when one of them, one of these organizations would say, whatever you need, know that we are here for you. I have your back. We're supporting you. We're taking care of you. Something happens, arises. You're not alone. She said, although my trust is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fully, having a sense that there is support amongst our ummah, amongst our community, helps. And of course it helps. Countless studies have found in psychology and sociology the role that people have in supporting others and how it impacts their emotional well-being and the emotional well-being of those they support. In fact, giving, supporting, I don't mean just charity, supporting others and alleviating their hardships is one of the greatest antidotes to sadness and depression. One of the greatest antidotes to a life that seems meaningless. To have a role where you can alleviate the affairs of other people. And of course, even today, those who are migrating from different lands and fleeing for their lives, Syria and Palestine, Sudan, and many other lands and places. May Allah make it easy for all of our brothers and sisters and all of us here who have migrated or our parents have migrated due to conflict, due to hardship, due to oppression. We know the importance of supporting each other. We know how crucial it is in times of darkness in the world or in our personal challenges for there to be the light of support. For there to be the light of the alleviation of affairs. And when we talk about these matters, I want us to focus on just a recap of things that we have heard, inshallah ta'ala, yani we'll touch on these, but we've probably heard thousands of times. The reminder from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-mu'minu lil-mu'min, the believer to the other believer, kal-bunyan, it's like a building, meaning they reinforce each other. The famous hadith, la yu'minu ahadukum, meaning none of you will have complete iman, hatta yuhibba li-akhihi ma yuhibbu li-nafsi, until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. The famous hadith, unsur akhaka zaliman aw mazluma, support your brother, oppressor or oppressed. As for the oppressor, you stop them from oppressing others. You stop them from hurting others. And as for the oppressed, it is self-evident. When we think of these narrations, we look at how, in a way, you want to treat people based on your compassion, your sincerity, and your full trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also treat you in a way as an extension of how you treat His creation. And there are so many examples, but I want to share one lengthy hadith and break it down, inshallah ta'ala, as an example of this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَحَبُّ النَّاسِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ. The beginning of the hadith, it's very straightforward. the most beloved people to Allah, may Allah make us amongst them, are those who are most beneficial to others. So you're constantly scanning your environment, at work, at school, at home, wherever you are, online. And if you see an opportunity or the ability to create an opportunity to help others, then do so. وَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And the most beloved of deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the majestic, سُرُورٌ تُدْخِلُهُ عَلَى مُسْلِمْ. Number one amongst them is to bring happiness to another believer. أَوْ تَكْشِفُ عَنْهُ كُرْبَةً, or to relieve a burden from them. أَوْ تَقْضِي عَنْهُ دَيْنًا, or to remove a debt from them. أَوْ تَطْرُدُ عَنْهُ جُوعًا, or to alleviate their hunger. These are all examples of the most beloved of deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every one of these in reality requires its own Friday khutbah. But this in particular, the central part of the hadith, is remarkable in enlightening us of how rewarding it is. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued, وَلَأَنْ أَمْشِيَ مَعَ أَخِي فِي حَاجَةٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ أَعْتَكِفَ فِي هَذَا الْمَسْجِدِ, يعني مسجد المدينة, شهرًا. For me to walk alongside my brother, for me to go with someone, for me to alleviate the affairs of my brother or sister, is more beloved to me than i'tikaf in this masjid, the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know the reward of i'tikaf, to isolate in the masjid, to worship and seclude yourself. So imagine a month, not in a masjid, but in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he is telling us, alayhi salatu wasalam, the one who stood in qiyam until his ankles would swell, the one who prayed throughout the night sallallahu alaihi wasallam for many hours, he is telling us it is more beloved to him to alleviate the burden of your brother or your sister, to walk with them and take care of the matter, meaning it's not just like a quick fix. You had to put in some effort. It's a sacrifice. You may have even sacrificed i'tikaf, might have sacrificed voluntary acts of worship. But what you did here is so much greater than that. And it's a powerful reminder of the role of relieving others of their hardships in Islam and how important it is, especially in times like this. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued, gave examples about those who restrain their angers or refrain with regards to their anger. And then finally, at the very end of the narration, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَمَنْ مَشَى مَعْ أَخِيهِ, whoever walks with his brother, فِي حَاجَةٍ, to take care of his affairs, حَتَّى تَهَيَّأَتْ لَهُ أَثْبَتَ اللَّهُ قَدَمَهُ يَوْمَ تَزُولُ الْأَقْدَامِ, whoever takes care of the affairs of his brother, you complete the task. You started off helping, it may have taken longer than you anticipated. And you took care of the task, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, especially if you here accomplish it, Allah will make your feet firm on the day when many feet will not be firm. And the feet that are not firm on that day are not firm because they have shortcomings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that. What's another example that we know of where the sense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will treat you in a way based on how you treat His creation? One of the famous narrations ends with, وَاللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِيهِ. Allah is in the aid of his servant so long as the servant is in the aid of his brother or his sister. In a way, as you exemplify to your brothers and your sisters around the world, locally and globally, I have your back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has your back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a divine support. Don't wonder about the how. Don't wonder from what source. Allah will take care of you just as you are sincerely taking care of his creation. Irhamu man fil ardi, irhamkum man fis sama. Take care and have mercy, or be merciful to those who are on the earth, and the one above the heavens will be merciful to you. One of the interesting sayings of the companions about this, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he says, indeed Allah has servants amongst his creation to whom the people will turn to in fulfilling their needs and bringing them joy. So people, when they think, who can I call for help? Who should I message? Who should I go to? Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he's saying there are people that Allah has made appealing for this. And then he says about this, such are the ones that are secure from the punishment of Allah on the Day of Judgment. Because of how much they alleviated the burdens of others in this world, and that people would frequently turn to them. It's not always easy. It's a sacrifice in time and effort and other things you have going on. But that call from your brother, from your friend, the situation that you know took place where you can serve in some form, some capacity, is a reason for you to be safe on the most difficult of days. This concept of saying, I've got your back, in the English, yani common language, I've got your back. It's interesting to think about the Arabic expressions that are similar to this in the dua. One of them, we should be saying every night before we sleep. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one of the narrations where he taught us a dua to make wudu and go to your bed, and then make this dua, Allahumma aslamtu nafsi ilayka, oh Allah, I submit myself to you, wa wajjahtu wajhi ilayka, and I turn to you figuratively, wa fawwadtu amri ilayka, I hand over my affairs to you, walja'tu dhahri ilayka, and I lean my back on you, meaning for support. I lean on you for support, oh Allah. So what's amazing about the commentary on this particular dua is the one who wants more of that support, as you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a greater divine assistance from above the heavens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you more of that in proportion to how much support you offer others. How many people you've said to or have exemplified in some form, I've got your back. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of you in ways you cannot possibly imagine. And He will bless you in ways you cannot imagine. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst these people. Allahumma ameen. The history of this term or expression, I've got your back, in the English language, most likely, we don't know, but most likely, it was literal. It was literal in the battlefield. It was literal in wars, where someone would say, cover my back, meaning I can't see behind me, so I'm asking you to take care of me if somebody's coming to attack me. I've got your back, or I've got your six sometimes. What's interesting about it is that, yes, although it was perhaps used most commonly in the context of a battle, and you're talking here about the saving of one's life, I've got your back, I'm covering you, it came to obviously carry a more extensive meaning, a very broad meaning. Now it's also financial, emotional, psychological. Most cases that we use it for are supportive. I've got your back, what do you need? Whatever you need help with, I've got your back. Think about the impact of these words on someone who's going through a lot of pain, mental anguish, a lot of challenges. And the entire day or the entire week or the entire month, not a single sense of support, even from the people that they pray next to, the people that they know to be their brothers and sisters in Islam. You know, when someone says their shahada out loud, or they come to the mosque and they say, I want my shahada to be public, and we welcome them to Islam and we hug them and say, now you have 2 billion brothers and sisters. You have a large family around the world. I hope we walk the walk, because it's easy to welcome someone into Islam. But when they say, I need help, or they know, or they want to integrate into a community, or they want support in some way, like I want to be part of the social programming, the functions, the life that you guys have. I don't want to feel like I'm a new person, I'm isolated. Or I've got your back, I'll teach you how to pray. I'll teach you. It's going to take time, but I'll be there for you. I'll show up to the masjid. I have a busy job, but I'll be there for you. Sometimes that's the reason people stay within Islam. Sometimes the reason people come back to the masajid. And we all know this in some capacity. The support of your brothers and sisters cannot be quantified with anything worldly. It's more precious, and that's why the reward is so great. You know, Yusuf alayhi salam, when he was in jail, Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, when he was in prison, and he had all these prisoners with him, there's a specific part of the ayah, part of the story, Inna naraka minal muhsinin, we know that you are amongst, we see that you are amongst those who do good. One of the tabi'een, he commented on this, Ad-Dahhak rahimahullah, he commented on this and he said that Yusuf alayhi salam, his kindness, his ihsan, was referring to that if someone in that prison cell was sick, he would be supportive. If the space was tight, he would make room for them. If someone needed something, he would gather it for them. In other words, Inna naraka minal muhsinin, we see that you're a good person. He proved it. He walked the walk. And so when someone needed something, even behind prison walls where you feel like you don't really have much to offer, he was very supportive, alayhi salam. So the believer looks for every opportunity, day and night, wherever you are, whether you're at work or school or anywhere in between, whenever you see an opportunity to serve others, race to it. You're racing to Allah's mercy. You're racing to the reward of ihsan. هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. You're racing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's supporting of your situation as well. One of the companions, he said, I traveled with Abdullah bin Umar, radiallahu anhuma, the great companion. He said, I traveled with him so I can be in his service, just so I can help him. Anything you need while you're traveling, difficult journey, I want to go with you just to help you out. And he said, but the entire journey, he was serving me. You look at the example of the companions who are following the footsteps of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you find we have, or should have, a sense of urgency to always be helpful in these scenarios that we are in. This applies to any one of us. Think of your own situations, whether it's your family members and you are supporting them, parents, your spouse, your children, one another, siblings, whatever it may be, your relatives, your neighbors. You think of the students on campuses who can support and help each other. You think of students, by the way, who've defended other students they don't know from bullying, from harassment. And sometimes they themselves could not do anything, but they would bring about the support that was needed. Or they would wait so they could testify to something that had occurred. Yes, that those minutes of sacrifice are huge on your part, but the reward is so much greater. And the reward says more about who you are, rather than the people that you think you are helping. You are the one who's in need of Allah's mercy. We are the ones in need of Allah's ihsan towards us. Ultimately, when it comes to helping other people, we help because we genuinely should feel compassion and mercy towards others. It's not because we just want selfishly reward. But yes, with it, there's massive, massive, massive reward. And with it as well, there's the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life and in the afterlife as well, especially on the Day of Judgment. Every hardship you alleviate this in this world from other people's lives as part of your habit and practice, you don't know what it means, what it translates to, of the hardships you'll be saved from on the most difficult of days. And this again applies to every situation in some capacity. Whether you're young or old, men or women working or not, whether it's local or global, helping your brothers and your sisters is one of the many examples of what it means to be Muslim. Now, if we were to think of some of the etiquettes which are oftentimes overlooked, we find that amongst them, when you want to alleviate the affairs of other people, number one, I'll mention four or five inshallah ta'ala for the sake of time. Number one, remember to be sincere in your action. This is for the sake of Allah. And do not mention your favor upon other people. Don't keep mentioning what you did for others. Don't keep bringing up the fact that, remember when I did that thing for you or that gift that I got you. Don't even do so in a subtle way. Oh, I really like that jacket. And we know you're talking about the jacket that you bought this person who needed it. Now, I'm not talking about friends who are joking with each other. But the one who actually legitimately is helping someone in need should never bring it up again. Don't bring up the fact that you served. Don't bring up the fact that you did this. Why? You did this for the sake of Allah. You didn't do it so they would thank you, so they would feel indebted to you. You did this sincerely for the sake of Allah, which is why some of the companions would say, like Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said, a deed in helping others is not considered. It's not considered fulfilled until you complete it. And so with this, you want to help others, number one, sincerely, without mentioning it multiple times. And number two, you want to complete the task. You want to actually get through. And that means that sometimes we start with helping situations or causes of the ummah, but we don't pull through, we don't show up, we don't keep going, we burn out. And it could be a campaign that's global, it could be a cause that will probably not end for the next year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, it's possible. But your resilience is connected to your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of the scholars would say, starting an act of kindness to other people, it may be seen as a sunnah in many cases, voluntary. If there are a lot of people who can help, somebody has to do it. But once you start it, fulfilling it and completing it is wajib. Don't start helping someone and then cut off the help along the way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ihsan. Inna Allah yuhibbu idha amila ahadukum amalan an yutqina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves when you take or undertake a task, any one of you, that you do so with excellence. And sometimes we say, but I have excuses, I'm too busy. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he became the Khalifa, there was a young girl. Her and her family were always supported by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. She was worried that now that he's become the Khalifa, he's not going to have time for us. And he overheard this. It got to him in some way. And he said, I'm optimistic, I'm hopeful that what I was doing before will not stop just because I've entered into this responsibility. And we see this from a lot of the great companions. Sometimes we say, but I'm too busy, or someone else will do it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us sincerity. Allahumma ameen. The third, the scholars say, don't request help in a time of urgency from someone who is stingy. Don't go to the stingy people. They will make you feel bad. And they will kind of put the burden on your head for the rest of your life. They will keep bringing it up. And so generally speaking, they say, go to the people who are generous. Go to the people who are compassionate. Go to the people who are kind. So that you're in a position where you're not feeling an additional sense of burden, that I'm being burdensome. Because the stingy person will probably not do it or continue to bring it up. And lastly, the scholars say, of course, on the receiving end, it is important for us to be thankful. That we are thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by thanking the creation. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, مَنْ صُنِعَ إِلَيْهِ مَعْرُوفٌ فَقَالَ لِفَاعِلِهِ جَزَاكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا فَقَدْ أَبْلَغَ فِي الثَّنَاءِ. The Prophet alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever has done a favor and then responds to that person, the one who helped you, by saying, may Allah reward you with goodness, jazakallahu khayra. This person has fulfilled basically the excellence of praise. This is the best thing you can do. Jazakallahu khairan. May Allah reward you with good. Why? Because what Allah gives you for helping me is greater than what I can possibly do. And I know you're not expecting reciprocation. You're not helping because you want something back. Because that's not what we seek. And that's why we go back to the first point, which is that you do so with sincerity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us sincerity. Remember once again, the topic of helping others, it is related to our states. It's related to what's happening sociologically, psychologically, mentally, emotionally. It's related to the state of the ummah as well. When things get difficult, when there's injustice, when there's hardship, when there's fear, when there are a lot of changes politically as well or economically, that a lot of times people will isolate and they're just worried about themselves. Make sure you are taking care of the people around you, that you are initiating good causes, that you are continuous in your, or consistent in your activism, your volunteerism for all types of causes, local and global. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep our hearts united as one building, reinforcing one another, supporting each other. وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضُ. The believing men and women are supporters, allies to one another. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring down His divine justice and relief for our brothers and sisters in every land, in every place. اللهم آمين. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.